Now, as we prepare to hear a lesson from God's Word, I invite you to pray with me our prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your Word, fill us with your Spirit. Soften our hearts that we may see your ways. Fill us with your light through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Susan. At my house, we watch a lot of Sesame Street. Elmo, my youngest, asked for. Let's watch Elmo. Now, there's a recurring scene in Sesame Street that I can remember from the time that I was little. Maybe this will ring a bell for you as well. A man sits down in a restaurant and goes to eat his soup and sees that there's a fly in the soup. And so he says, "Waiter, waiter." And Grover, furry, fuzzy, adorable Grover, is the poor waiter who is supposed to do something about this. Now, the character over the years has not changed at all. It's like the same Muppet. Grover is, of course, the same Grover. But the story is the same. The man expects to be waited on. He expects servants. And again, he is frustrated because he doesn't get it. Have you had an experience like that before? My family will tell you that I am terrible when it comes to someone getting something wrong. Not to their face. Goodness no, not to their face. But if I go pick up something from the drive-thru, if I bring it home, the order is wrong, I exclaim, "We're never going there again." Until the next time we get hungry for that, then I decide it's okay to go back. But have you had experiences like that? And do you ever feel that way? I know this is a shortcoming of mine. And so, of course, the first part of today's sermon, as so many sermons are, is pointed right back at me. Preacher, preach to yourself or practice what you preach. Well, that's what we try to do and usually fail. So often we go through life looking out for ourselves, wanting to be served rather than to serve, which is what makes the opening part of today's scripture lesson so powerful. Jesus, after he has preached in the synagogue, remember, last week we talked about Jesus driving out a demon an unclean spirit in the synagogue, speaking out and not allowing it to speak and casting it out of the person. So it's after that scene, they go back to Simon Peter's house. And we know it's James and John and Simon and his brother Andrew. And they go back to Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law is sick. Insert your own mother-in-law joke here. She is in bed with a fever. And they told Jesus about her. Verse 31, it says, he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. I like the New International Version of the Bible. It does not do the translation justice here. It's not like Simon's mother-in-law is just a little bit sick and he grabs her hand and helps her up. The word there for help her up is actually the word for raised. He raises her up, which is connected to the word that the angel speaks to the women at Jesus' gravesite when they say, when the angel says to the women, he is not here, he is risen. It's the same word. She's not just a little bit sick. She's on her deathbed. She doesn't just have a little fever. They expect that she is not going to make it through the night, probably. She is as good as dead until Jesus comes. And he takes her by the hand and he raises her up. The fever left her and she began to serve them. The word there for serve, to wait on them. Bob, you know? No, that's all right. That's all right. The word is the same word for our understanding of deacon, diakonos, someone who waits on someone. In our Sesame Street episode, Grover is a deacon. This woman, when her life is restored to her, takes on the form of servant, of deacon, and serves her Lord, serves the one who gave her new life. I think so often in our modern society, we expect to be served. We expect that people are going to meet our needs. Sometimes it happens in the church. We expect that someone is going to take care of our spiritual needs, that we are going to be fed. It's a reasonable expectation. I hope by participating in today's service that you are spiritually fed. It is certainly a fervent hope of mine, but I hope that it doesn't stop there. Simon's mother-in-law is raised to new life, spiritually fed, if you will. But she doesn't stop there. She doesn't leave them behind and say, all right, fine, woohoo! You guys get out of here now, and next time I'm sick, you can come back and we can do it all again next time. She serves. She serves them. She takes the gift of salvation, quite literally, saved from her disease, she takes that gift and puts it to use in service to someone else. I've often heard it said that the church, as an organization, is one of the only organizations that exists for someone outside of its own members. And I certainly hope that's true. Too many churches I've seen, that's not the case. But the church members understand their membership to mean that someone serves them. Next Sunday, when we gather at the Lord's table for communion, we recall the night when Jesus is betrayed. He serves his disciples. And he tells them, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. This thread of service runs all along through Mark's gospel. Jesus tries to take on the form of servant. And after dark, after the Sabbath has come to an end, the crowds of people begin to come. They begin to knock on Simon's door to say, we know Jesus is here, and they bring their sick and their demon-possessed. In fact, Mark says that the whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. The title of today's sermon is Secrets. Jesus is trying to keep his identity a secret. Why? The gift that Jesus is to so many people. He heals their diseases, redeems them from the pit. It's like the living embodiment of the 103rd Psalm. Crowns them with steadfast love and mercy. So why keep it a secret? Why not spread the word? Because Jesus is always tempted by fame. When we begin into the season of Lent, we're going to take a look at the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. One of the temptations is to do mighty acts that will gain him fame and acclaim throughout the entire land. But Jesus runs away from that every time because he doesn't want to be famous. He doesn't want the attention to be on him. He doesn't want to be known as some traveling magician who just is like some kind of healer. In fact, he actively runs away from that. I think Mark gives us a portrayal of Jesus that is the most human of the four Gospels. In Mark, Jesus gets tired. Jesus gets cranky with his disciples. It wears on him. There are all these people. There's so much need. The whole town gathers at the door. They want to be healed. And Jesus does heal some of them, many of them, in fact. But he doesn't want the word to spread that he is some great healer, that he's some great magician. So he kind of sneaks out the back door and he goes off to a solitary place. He needs to recharge. He needs to reconnect with his Father. I think we can relate to this. There are times in our lives when it seems like it's all too much. that the burdens of our lives, the burdens of our responsibilities are too much and they're weighing on us, and we can feel that our strength is waning, that our creativity, that the quality of our work, that the quality of our lives is diminished somehow. We get short with our families. We get short with our coworkers. We lash out. We need to reconnect. We need to step back. And that's exactly Jesus. So he goes off to a solitary place and he tries to get some peace. He tries to get some sense of quiet so that he can pray. But no sooner does he get to the solitary place that Simon and his companions come to look for him. And when they find him, they exclaim, "Everyone is looking for you." Everyone. Listen to these words. The whole town gathers at the door. Everyone is looking for you. The entire place wants a piece of what Jesus has. And what does Jesus say? Might surprise you, actually. For those of you who feel entitled to service, Jesus' answer might even frustrate you. Waiter, there's a fly in my soup. Sorry, Jesus replies, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Jesus doesn't want to be bogged down in one place. Jesus is not just the Messiah of Capernaum. And there's enough need in Capernaum for him to last a lifetime. But frustratingly, for those who are still in need, Jesus moves on from that place. He replies, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Let's underline those words in our Bibles. Why did Jesus come? Not to cast out all the demons, not to heal all the people, but to preach, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. His work is in proclaiming God's word, not just to the people of Capernaum, but to the folks in the surrounding villages. And then, as we continue on, he travels farther and farther. He travels throughout Galilee. He preaches in their synagogues and drives out demons, unclean spirits. He goes into the synagogues, the places of worship, and he seeks to kick out the powers, the principalities. And the theme over and over again is that he doesn't allow them to speak so that they won't say who he is. Jesus keeps his identity a secret, because he knows that if word gets out, he's not going to be able to finish his work. Those who want to be served are going to bog him down. And it's not that he doesn't want to serve them. But I think what he wants is for their response to be to serve each other. That's what discipleship is. Discipleship is serving others, that they might be disciples too, to serve others. And as Jesus travels around the region, that is what he proclaims. My friends, the secret to being a Christian is to be a servant first, a servant to all, to look out for the needs of others instead of our own needs. Instead of sitting around angrily claiming that there's a fly in my soup, picking out the fly and then going to the table next to you and doing the same for them. And forgiveness for the waiter who can't seem to quite get it together. Physician, heal thyself. That's what grace looks like. And each one of us that have experienced the healing of Jesus Christ, each of us that has experienced the forgiving, amazing grace of Jesus Christ, share in this responsibility to be disciples that make disciples by being servants to others. Being a part of Christ's church is being a servant to others. I think we should all examine our hearts this week. Think about, how am I expecting others to serve me? And how am I growing in faithfulness and the urge to be a servant to someone else? Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this gift of healing, for the gift of driving out the unclean spirits that are in our midst. Lord, fill us with such a sense of your presence that we seek to serve others, not to be served ourselves. Lord, give us that spirit of discipleship today, that we might be a church that is known for the service that we give to other people. Not for our own glory, but so that we might make your name famous in all the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is in the words of the Apostles' Creed, that ancient statement of Orthodox Christian faith. Let's stand together as we proclaim our faith. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.